Human rights organisations are deeply concerned, with reports confirming the first deportations to Nauru under a new deal. The government's multi-billion dollar offshore agreement allows the deportation of around 280 non-citizens from the NZYQ group, a cohort living in Australia who had their visas cancelled on character grounds. The deal has been termed as secretive and follows the implementation of recent laws, which come 2 years after these people were released back into the community following a 2023 High Court ruling that they could not be indefinite detention. So what exactly is known about the few that have been exiled? I spoke with Ogi Simic, Head of Advocacy at the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre.
The number of people that could be impacted by recent government changes in law is much broader than just the 280 people that has been talked about in the media. Effectively, the government now has the power to deport anyone who is a non-citizen to any country in the world that they've paid. When probed on this, the department in an inquiry admitted that up to 80,000 people in our community could be impacted. We're incredibly concerned about the laws themselves. When it comes to the deal that's been struck with Nauru, so little is known about what's actually happened. We know that Tony Burke travelled to Nauru without anyone knowing that an agreement has been struck. We know that the cost of that agreement is significant, somewhere between $2.5 billion to $7 billion for the lifetime of the actual deal. We know that there's no cap on the number of people that can be sent to Nauru. And we're incredibly concerned about what happens to people when they get to Nauru. We're also very concerned about what's happening at the moment, where people are being taken from our community in the middle of the night, in some instances, taken to a place where they most likely don't want to go to without any opportunity for legal recourse or any opportunity for them to appeal the decision for them to be sent to Nauru. We don't actually know how many people that are there exactly. We don't know in what sort of circumstances they're in. There's been a complete lack of transparency.
And just in terms of these law changes, would they now apply to all people seeking asylum?
Yeah, it would apply to anyone who is a non-citizen. So it could be anyone who is seeking asylum, and it could even be a point in time in their asylum journey where for some reason they don't, at that point in time, have a visa to be in Australia. So like I said, when probed, the Department of Home Affairs admitted that up to 80,000 people could be impacted.
I know you did mention that you don't know too much about these people specifically being deported, but what are some of the risks or concerns around people deported to Nauru?
We know that Nauru is the size of Melbourne Airport. It's a very small island where the conditions are really difficult for people that are living there. For people who live on Nauru, there are very few jobs. For people who live on Nauru, there's very little healthcare, certainly no tertiary hospitals. And given the sort of circumstances that people might be sent in there, there is no support for them. So we were incredibly concerned about the conditions. We also know that there's been an escalation of violence on Nauru towards refugees and people seeking asylum. And there is a history of human rights abuses with the way that the relationship between Australia and Nauru has existed over time, where people arriving by boat have been sent to Nauru. There's a history of human rights abuses.
The government has claimed the moves are a vital step in protection. What's your reaction around this?
We've got a set of circumstances where people are caught up in what has been a political situation. The people who are impacted and are being targeted at the moment are people who have committed an offence previously in their lives. But the reality of the situation is that those people have served an initial sentence for the crimes they've committed. They've then, under Australian law, been re-detained in immigration detention by the Minister of Immigration, not the courts, but the Minister for Immigration has had the power to cancel people's protection findings and re-detain them. The High Court found that people can't be detained in immigration detention indefinitely. These people have been now part of our community. When they were released in community, some had ankle bracelets put on their legs, and now they've been sent to Nauru. They've been punished so many times already, and now they've been dealt effectively a life sentence with very little information or scrutiny around what's going to happen to them.
Australia's decades-long offshore detention policy has been met with criticism from a number of human rights organisations, with these recent law changes now adding another layer. So, in current times, what do you think Australia's perception is when it comes to offshore detention?
We know that Australia's relationship with Nauru has been met with criticism by the international community. Because there's so much secrecy surrounding what's happening, very few people in our community know about Australia's relationship with Nauru. They can't believe that a country like Australia is ripping people out of the community under so much secrecy and sending them to places like Nauru. People are also can't believe the amount of money that's being wasted here, billions of dollars for a small number of people. It doesn't make sense on any level. When you look at it from a human rights perspective, when you look at it from an economic perspective, when you look at it from a safety perspective.
On the note of finance, there's been mixed reports around how much exactly is being spent, but we know that there's at least $2.5 billion, with some other reports suggesting up to $7 billion. How else could this money be invested?
Well, it's $2.5 billion to $7 billion on this deal alone, but the Australian government is also paying $719 million to a US-based prison company to keep a detention facility open on Nauru as well. We're talking about billions of dollars for what is effectively being cruel to a small number of people. I think there's so many different ways that this money can be invested, and certainly every person I've spoken to can't believe that the Australian government is doing this.
And what next? What do you want to see happen, and what will your organisation aim to do around this situation?
We need to make sure that the rule of law is upheld and that people have access to natural justice and an opportunity to appeal decisions, government decisions, before the courts. We want to see far greater transparency of what's going on, but ultimately we need to stop this relationship with Nauru paying a country billions of dollars in order to be cruel towards people who are part of our community.
Ogi Simic, Head of Advocacy at the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre, speaking with me.